Today's episode of Locked On Yankees is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gotsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer turned podcast host, and you may have read my work at places like Baseball Prospectus, the Hardball Times, FanRag Sports, and the ESPN Sweet Spot blog. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, all one word. You can find me on Twitter at Stace Gotts. Please feel free to tweet questions or comments to either account. We're also on Instagram at Locked On Yankees, all one word. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoyed today's episode. It is Crossover Tuesday. I recorded with Gabrielle Starr of Locked On Red Sox, and we talk about the Adam Ottavino trade, along with a bunch of other subjects. In fact, we spoke so long that we have to split this up into two episodes. So we hope you enjoy it. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and Locked On Red Sox and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees.
I'm really excited about this. I just have to tell you, because like, for one thing, we're two of the only women on this network. Mm-hmm. But also because it's Sox Yankees, and I feel like because the rivalry is dead, like we haven't really had a lot. There's haven't really been any reasons for us to record together. So I thought that this would be a perfect time, because here we are, first trade between Sox and Yankees since 2014,
yeah.
Which is wild, but also not wild. Like they don't really ever make trades. I didn't realize. I mean, I think about all the players who, you know, have played for both teams, but that's obviously different than like a direct trade, or like Damon leaving or Ellsbury leaving. Like they left the Red Sox, they went to the Yankees, but they weren't traded. They just chose to leave. The Yankees, I feel like, haven't done much with their off seasons so far until this week. This week kind of everyone kind of kicked into gear for some reason. I don't know. How do you feel about this trade?
Well, I thought it was a joke at first because I wasn't on Twitter. Yeah, I wasn't on Twitter. I was writing and editing. And then I decided to look because our group DM, you know, is very fast. And I saw, I think you had put the tweet up, and I thought, it's too early for April Fools. Is this really a thing? Is this actually happening? And I had to double check. And I have a column in TweetDeck that's Yankee beat writers, because it's the only way to keep track of everything that's happening. And when I saw a bunch of them saying it, I was like, okay, so it's not a joke. This is actually happening. And what I thought was interesting about it was Ottavino's name was brought up a lot in the last week or so by Yankee blogs as a possible salary shed trade. I feel it's a tad unfair to him because it was a small sample size in 2020. Yes, he was atrocious, but I feel like they could have given him a chance to redeem himself in 2021. But this was really a salary dump, which is so ridiculous when you think about it, because the New York Yankees shouldn't have to do that. What I was seeing in Yankee blogs, people were thinking that maybe he would be traded to the Dodgers, maybe the Phillies, maybe the Braves. No one in their wildest dreams would have imagined that the Yankees and the Red Sox would do the swap.
No, definitely not. And so I obviously had to do a little deep dive when it was confirmed that this was not a joke and that they actually had made a trade. He had like one game where he gave up 6 earned runs in not even...
Oh, without giving up a, yeah, he didn't even get it out.
It was like 4 hits, 6 earned runs, 2 walks, including a homer. Mm-hmm. And like when that happened, his ERA went from 3.55 to 7.82. And like you said, you know, the guy only appeared in 24 games. Yeah, 18.1 innings pitched. So when you give up 6 earned runs and the sample size is so small, like guess what? That's your whole season right there. Your stat is skewed and you cannot undo it. I mean, 2020 was such a weird year for that exact reason. Like, you got guys being like, oh, but they only appeared in 10 games. It's like, yeah, cool. That's 1/6 of the season right there. Like, as opposed to 162 games. So yeah, I was really surprised that they didn't give him a chance because he was so good for you guys in 2019.
Right.
That was like the second best ERA of his entire career, aside from that crazy year where he had zero ERA in like 10 games.
You know, like I said, I really thought I was imagining things. Then I thought it was a joke. And then I had to double check to make sure that I wasn't imagining things. And again, I just think the whole salary dump thing is so hilarious because, God forbid, the Yankees have to pay the luxury tax. The, you know, Yankees that are, or Hal Steinbrenner, who's worth like $3.5 billion, you know, God forbid he has to pay a little bit more money to have a good team. Yeah.
It's so embarrassing for your team, for my team, any team. Every baseball owner is a billionaire. We know exactly. This, but for teams like yours and mine, who are at the top, top, top of that list. I mean, the Red Sox ownership group before Steve Cohen bought the Mets was the richest ownership group in all of Major League Baseball. For all of these teams to be like, oh, we have to shed salary. We have to shed salary. You're like, you don't actually have to shed salary. You want to because you lost money this year because there were no fans in the stands. You lost revenue, so you're crying poor. You know, like the Yankees are valued at what, like $5 billion as a team, as a franchise?
Right.
It's ridiculous. Like, what are we talking about here?
It's ridiculous for not only the Yankees and the Red Sox and teams like that, but it's ridiculous for any team to pinch pennies ever. Yeah. You know, even before the pandemic was happening, like, I know the model is working for the Rays, for them to not pay guys. And then once the guys want to get paid, they ship them off. But I feel like the rest of baseball is looking at the Rays and thinking, maybe we can do the same thing. And I don't want that to happen. I want teams to spend money on people.
Yeah, well, also, like, I mean, look at my team. They hired Chaim Bloom from the Rays.
Mm-hmm.
And then he traded Mookie Betts, like, willingly. No one put a gun to his head or tied him up in a basement and said, you have to trade Mookie Betts. They literally chose to trade the second best, maybe the best player in Major League Baseball. And he then signed a 12-year deal with the team that they traded him to. So, like, he's gone. Babe Ruthed ourselves again.
Let's go back to that because I'm curious about, like, what was your initial reaction when they traded him away?
Like, I'll be honest, I went through a lot of emotions about Mookie over that, like, kind of year, because actually it was more than a full year that he was saying that he intended to test free agency. Because the timeline, like, I don't know how familiar you are with the timeline of the situation, but basically, obviously, in the 2018 season, he was like AL MVP, batting champ, gold glove, silver slugger, everything. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, okay, well, when's he a free agent? Like, are they going to extend him now, blah, blah, blah. Like the typical conversation you have when you've got a guy like Mookie Betts. After they won the World Series, Dave Dombrowski offered him a deal. It was like an extension kind of valued, I think the ballpark was like 7 years, $220 million, which is, you know, obviously like a significant amount of money. But when you consider that he had just won like every accolade in the book, it's a low ball offer for someone of his caliber. And right. I think he was insulted. I truly think that that was like when he was like really started to be like, I'm testing free agency, because this is a guy who they drafted, homegrown talent, pride of the team. And,
right.
And like the confetti is still being swept off the streets. That's the offer you give him.
Right.
And so he's like, I'm going to test free agency. So Dombrowski goes and he's like, all right, I guess I have money to spend because this guy, like, instead of trying to like up the offer, he goes and gives out those contract extensions to Sale and Eovaldi. Both of those guys like had been hurt during the 2018 season, whatever. Everyone's like basking in like the afterglow of the World Series.
He was really playing with fire with that.
Oh my God. I love Nathan Eovaldi, but like two-time Tommy John, Nathan Eovaldi and Chris Sale, who was hurt in 2017 and 2018. So that was like the off season. And then, you know, they're well over the luxury tax again. And everyone's worried that they're going to trade Mookie before the season, that they're going to trade Mookie before the trade deadline. He doesn't get traded, et cetera. And then last winter comes around, Chaim Bloom replaces Dave Dombrowski and everyone's terrified. But like, you kind of just don't think that that could ever happen.
I was just going to ask, like, when he replaced Dombrowski, were you all like, oh no, oh, oh no.
I mean, kind of, but I was more like hopeful because basically, like you said, with the Rays, No offense to the Rays. The Rays are bad for baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Their model is bad for baseball. Like you said, I mean, this is Moneyball 2.0, where you have teams that are trying to do anything they can to be competitive, competing against teams that have money to spend. But now the whole Billy Beane thing in the early 2000s was like, he had to find a way to be competitive because teams like the Yankees and Red Sox were poaching all of his talent, you know, Giambi, Damon. And then these teams saw that he made the A's competitive and we were like, oh, so we can just take his model and do it, but with actual money. And that's what happened.
Right.
But now teams are just taking the Rays model and not spending money. And so like with the Red Sox, I was like, all right, this is great. Chaim Bloom, if he can do that, if he can help build a Rays roster and a Rays farm system with like a $60 million payroll, imagine what he can do with like a $200 million payroll or even a $150 million payroll. Like, I'm not greedy, but like, I also know that my team, and the same way you know your team, our teams are spenders. Think about George Steinbrenner rolling in his grave yesterday at the Ottavino salary dump. Like, think right. about like George Steinbrenner is losing his mind wherever he is right now, watching this go down. So Bloom comes here though, and like, it's just more of the same. And it's like, do you not understand where you are? You know, like, you're not in Tampa anymore, buddy boy. Like, you're not in Kansas anymore. My team doesn't know how to build farm systems. My team doesn't know how to develop pitchers. You know what my team does know how to do? Throw ridiculous gobs of money at people. Like, at least you guys have like a somewhat functional farm system. The Red Sox don't have that. And even when they have like an okay farm system, the reason that guys like John Lester are so rare are because the Red Sox historically are not known for developing pitchers. Mm-hmm. It's just not their thing. And like, at some point you have to be self-aware and just know that and then go buy pitchers.
Right.
Like you can either be good at farm systems or you can be good at spending money, but you can't do neither.
Right.
When you're the Boston Red Sox or the New York Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so Mookie Betts, I was kind of frustrated because I was like, then there were rumors about a $300 million deal. And I was like, okay, but like, if he doesn't want that, okay, so let him go. I didn't want him to go. We're heading into the Super Bowl. The NBA and NHL are in full swing, and there is only one place that has you covered and one place we trust here at the Locked On Podcast Network, and that is betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use our promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive 50% off welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Built Bar makes the best tasting protein bars ever. Their protein bars are healthy bars that taste like candy bars. Each bar is covered in 100% chocolate. They have 18 amazing flavors, including nut and nut-free flavors. Each one is soft and easy to chew, low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, but without sacrificing the amazing taste that you can only get with a Built Bar. If you're looking to lose or maintain weight while indulging in this delicious treat, Built Bar is the bar for you. For a limited time only, go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off your next order. That promo code works if you're a first-time buyer or a repeat customer, so use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. Chaim Bloom is just buying a lot of cheap players and kind of doing like he's saying that he sees upside in guys, but I'm like, really? Because this guy's been pitching in the majors for 10 years. So not Ottavino, he's actually good. But, you know, like guys like Matt Andrees or Daniel Gossett or Garrett Richards, like, do you really think that there's something more there that nobody in Major League Baseball has found in 10 seasons between the Angels and the Padres? Like, you gotta have some really big baseballs to think that, like, you can find the diamond in the rough that no one else found for 10 years, you know?
Right. Well, for us over here, you know, with, you know, they finally re-signed LeMahieu, the Corey Kluber thing shocked the hell out of me.
Although,
yeah, we need to talk about Kluber.
Yeah, I kind of had a feeling because when they said that he was working out for, I think they said as many as 28 teams, I was like, oh, okay, the Yankees were definitely there. They might put out a flyer. Who knows? You never know. But then that was another thing I didn't know happened. Because I was doing something else. And that was the day that I jokingly put the prayer circle and said, you know, dear Yankees, yes, or whatever it was, Yankees get starting pitching. And then less than 2 hours later, they announced the Kluber deal.
And I remember being on the Locked On MLB account, like pretty soon after you had tweeted that. And I guess I had seen the Kluber deal before you. And so I was like on the, you know, doing my job, social job, and like saw your tweet and I was like, oh my God.
Like, you did it. It happened. And they took, you know, they're taking a risk with Kluber. They're taking a risk with Tyone. I mean, I kind of like both moves because they're not high risk, but they're high reward deals. Like if they both work out and they're both relatively healthy for the entire season, that's a win-win for the Yankees.
Yeah.
The thing I'm worried about, though, is them kind of just discarding Tanaka and being like, bye, thank you for doing your 7 years and you can go now. I feel like the Yankees, you know, it's this whole salary luxury tax thing where they're thinking they can't also sign Tanaka, but they would be a lot better if they could have Tanaka throwing 150 innings in 2021 for them along with these guys, but they're not thinking that way. They're thinking we have to save money.
Yeah, I'm really surprised. Like, I didn't think that Hap was going to stay, and I knew Paxton wasn't going to stay, but Tanaka was one where I thought it was like a guarantee that they were going to keep him. I mean, to see three of your starters become free agents simultaneously is already, you know, not a common occurrence, but a guy who's been such a mainstay in your rotation and like pretty consistent too. I mean, slow as all hell on the mound, but anytime our teams played each other and it ended up being a David Price Tanaka game, you knew that game was going to be 6 hours long because those are two of the slowest arms. It's like watching two turtles face off against each other.
Like, I understand, like, the Paxton thing. He was hurt basically the entire season, and you know, when he was pitching he was good, but the whole injury thing is a problem, which is kind of funny because of the whole Kluber Tyone thing. But Hap, part of me feels bad for Hap, and the other part of me wants to throttle him because I've seen him pitch in person two times. One time he was out of the game by the second inning because the Astros were just hitting the ball off him like it was batting practice. And then the other game I saw him pitch in 2019, he was battling with Manaea against the A's, and he pitched until I think he pitched into the sixth or seventh inning, didn't give up a run. He walked like four guys, but he was able to get out of that trouble. You know, so sometimes I felt bad for Jay Happ, and other times I wanted to kill him. And I felt bad for him in, and I've been bitching about this since it happened, game two of the division series. Talking about teams wanting to be like the Rays, the Yankees starting Davey Garcia, then bringing in Happ in the second inning, when they know that Happ doesn't like coming into games that he's not starting. He told them that. They knew this about him, and they still did this. Instead of starting Masahiro Tanaka, your number two, in game two, they do that to Jay Happ and basically set him up to fail.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really not good. I would say something else, but we can't curse on this network.
I knew exactly what you were going to say.
So I think it's better for Hap to be with, he's with the Twins now, right? And didn't he sign with the Twins? I think it's better for him to be with a different team, be away from the Yankees, because sometimes the coaching staff and players clash. You know, Sonny Gray, people were like, oh, he couldn't handle New York. No, it was because New York was trying to change the way he pitched and he wasn't meshing with the coaching staff, because once he went to the Reds, he was fine.
Oh my God. Once he went to the Reds, he was like in Cy Young conversations for like a hot minute. And I mean, being a Red Sox fan, I have to say, not to get too rivalry on you, but there were so many Yankees fans in my mentions when they got Sonny Gray being like, oh, you're in for it now, blah, blah, blah. And then he was terrible. And I just thought it was like the funniest thing that anytime a team gets like a superstar from another team and just automatically like banks on them being incredible before they've even thrown a single inning or like had a single at bat for your team. I think it's like the most ridiculous assumption because you have no idea how someone's going to do for your team, and anything they've done in the past doesn't actually matter because it their past can't win you games. Like I remember last year when you guys signed Garrett Cole, and there was a media outlet that was like, Garrett Cole, King of New York. And Mets fans were like, he literally has not even put on a uniform yet. And Jacob DeGrom exists. And it's like, it's not me digging at the Yankees at all, honestly. Like, the rivalry is so dormant right now. Like, I don't really care. But I just thought, like, even with the Red Sox, people be like, oh my God, this is huge for the Red Sox. Well, no one's really said that in the last 3 years. But like, you know, anytime someone new comes in, I'm like, I am gonna wait and see how they actually do in a game,
right,
in a Red Sox uniform before I like crow about it. I don't know. And Sonny Gray is a perfect example of that. Andrew Benintendi is another perfect example of that. Like, he had been open about the fact that he hated batting leadoff and that he'd been leadoff in college and didn't like it, and then Cora stuck him in the leadoff spot for like 3 months of the 2019 season, and his first inning batting average was like 0.94.
wow.
At like statistically the worst first inning batting average for a leadoff man in franchise history for at least 20 years. And I stopped looking at 20 years because it was too depressing to keep going. Like, the second worst was actually Jacoby Ellsbury, I think in 2014. And it was like 1.9 something. And like Benintendi couldn't even crack 100.
Coaches like, do that though.
I don't understand. Like, why aren't you playing to the strength of your players instead of trying to put a square peg in a round hole?
Exactly. You know?
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Gabrielle Starr of Locked On Red Sox. Again, we spoke for so long that we are going to have to split this into two episodes. But for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can subscribe to the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On today. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Tuesday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.